It's tuned to Yesterday, broadcasting programs from radio's past. Welcome, I'm your host, Mark Levonier. Sitcoms in this hour, later on the adventures of Archie Andrews, but right now, it's an episode of Our Miss Brooks starring Eve Arden. This called The Taxi Driver, heard on the CBS radio network on June 19th, 1955.
Now it's Our Miss Brooks starring Eve Arden. Out last week, but Amis Brooks, who teaches English at Madison High, still hasn't decided where she's going on her vacation. However, since Mr. Boynton went right ahead with his plans for the summer without even consulting her, she was determined to go out with other men while he was away. So even before he left, she decided to put herself back in circulation.
It was the only thing to do. But by the time I put myself back in circulation, most of the eligible men were oversubscribed. Nevertheless, I did meet one rather pleasant fellow who dated me a few times, a used car dealer named Sam Peterson, or, as he was known to the trade, Psychoneurotic Sam. Although we weren't exactly soulmates, Sam and I did get along quite well. So well, in fact, that he let me have one of his cars for an errand I had to run for my landlady last Friday morning. Unfortunately, it wasn't one of his better models, because it broke down 10 miles outside of town, and I had to get a taxi to drive me home. The ride back was quite uneventful until we pulled up at my house when I received a nasty shock.
That'll be $4.50, lady.
What? How much is it without the radio and the heater?
That's the fare, $4.50.
But that seems rather exorbitant. After all, you hardly drove me 10 miles.
$4.50.
Is that all you can say, $4.50?
No, it'll be an even $5 with the tip. Could I have it, please?
Well, the truth of the matter is, I don't have the entire amount on me. I can let you have part of it, though.
How much?
43 cents. Look, if you could just give me a little time.
Sorry, I've run into situations like this before, lady. And 9 times out of 10, you never see the people again.
But I'm a school teacher.
That's your problem. Well, I'm sticking around till I get my dough.
Well, then I'll go in and see if I can borrow it from my landlady. You wait right here.
If you don't mind, I'll go in with you.
But you'll see me go in the front door.
It's the back door I'm worried about. Not that I think you're dishonest, lady.
I know. It's just that you don't trust me. All right, then, let's go. Just as soon as I see my landlady, I'll settle up with you. I just hope she's in.
Oh, Connie, there you are. I was wondering when you'd be back there.
Oh, hello, Mrs. Davis. This is Mr.
Finch. Fred Finch.
Oh, of course. How are you? I've heard so much about you, I feel as if I'd known you for years.
You heard about me?
Yes, indeed. And the reports weren't a bit exaggerated. Oh, he's as cute as he can be, Connie.
Mrs. Davis, Mr. Finch is a cab driver.
Well, that's nice. It's about time you were getting away from biologists. Breakfast is on the table, and there's plenty for all three of us. So you go right ahead in, Mr. Finch.
Well, thanks. I wouldn't mind a bite at that.
Go right into the dinette, Mr. Finch. We'll join you in a minute.
Well, thanks.
Well, at least now I won't have to worry about the tip. Mrs. Davis, what gave you the idea that I'd been dating Mr. Finch or anybody else besides Mr. Boynton? I haven't mentioned anything to you.
I know, dear. But Mrs. Jackson saw you out driving last Sunday with some man. And then Mrs. Lane saw you at the movies with him Tuesday evening. And Mrs. Stewart saw you in the bowling alley with a friend on Wednesday.
And where did I go last night?
Well, I don't know, dear. The reports aren't in yet. Your secret is safe with me.
I have no secrets, Mrs. Davis. The gentleman inside happens to be a taxi driver.
Well, that's nothing to be ashamed of. Taxi drivers make wonderful husbands.
I'm afraid you still don't understand. I owe him some money for a ride. The fare came to $4.50, and I don't have it. Do you follow me?
Pardon me, dear. I think I hear the phone.
You follow me, all right. Could you at least let me have part of it?
I'd like to, Connie, but I spent my last few dollars. Now, who's that at the back door?
Oh, it's probably Walter Denton. I promised Mr. Boynton I'd lend him my valise, and Walter said he'd drive me over there this morning, but that was before I borrowed my friend's car, and before I had to take a taxi, and before I had to borrow some money to pay for it, and before I wished I was dead. Come in, Walter. The door's open.
There's the answer to your problem, Connie. Walter and Mr. Boynton.
Oh, no. Walter's too young, and Mr. Boynton's too Mr. Boynton. Oh, you mean my monetary problem?
Yes. You've laid out money for Walter's lunches all term long. Not to mention what Mr. Boynton owes you from movies and for gas. Why not try to collect?
Good morning, ladies. Say, I just came through your dinette, and there's a man eating like mad in there.
Well, don't be jealous, Walter. You'll be past him in no time.
Yeah, I have a pretty good idea who he is. I guess the date Tuesday night was pretty successful, huh, Miss Brooks?
Walter, how did you know I was on a date Tuesday night?
Should I give you the one about the little old birdie flapping her beak at me?
No, and I'll thank you to be more respectful to Mrs. Davis.
I do not.
No, Mrs. Davis didn't tell me. Harriet and I just happened to see you in the balcony of the State Theater that night.
Oh, I see. How did you like the picture?
When Harriet and I are in the balcony, who watches the picture?
There's something you wanted to talk to Walter about, remember?
Yes, Mrs. Davis.
I'll go in and start the dishes.
Well, Walter, since you've already seen him, the man in the dinette happens to be a taxi driver.
Well, that's nothing to be ashamed of. Taxi drivers make wonderful husbands.
So I've heard lately. I'll be perfectly frank, Walter. This driver is here now because I haven't the $4.50 I owe him. However, since I've advanced you about $10 in lunch money during the past year...
Is that the front doorbell?
No, and it isn't the rear doorbell, telephone, or ice cream man. All I need is $4.50, Walter.
Well, you know I'd help if I could, Miss Brooks. But all the money I've got in the world is right here in my pants pocket. Oh, you're welcome to that, of course.
Really?
Sure. I'll get it for you. If first I have to remove the rubber band from around the bottom of the pocket. There. Now I have to take away the staples from across the bottom of the pocket.
The staples?
You, that's in the case of pickpockets. Now, to remove the safety pin that holds the money in place.
A safety pin.
Well, here you are, Miss Brooks. $1.
Any pickpocket who got that dollar would deserve overtime. But since this is a desperate situation, I'll accept it. Thanks, Walter. Now, if you'll excuse me a minute... Mr. Finch, would you accept $1.50 toward my fare until tomorrow?
Just talk around the egg. I told you before, lady. I want my whole fare.
Well, then, would you wait here while I drive over with a student of mine and try to borrow it from a colleague?
No, ma'am. I'll take you over. I'm about finished anyway.
You know something, Mr. Finch?
What?
Mrs. Davis may have been right after all. You and I are going steady. I know you're cautious, Mr. Finch, but there's no reason to walk up to my friend's apartment with me.
Well, I just don't want to take any chances, Miss Brooks. Anyway, I wanted to see that you got this valise up here okay. It's kind of heavy.
Oh, that's right. You did lift it out of the cab when you handed it to me downstairs. Well, here we are.
Be right there. Oh, hello, Miss Brooks. Come in.
Thanks, Mr. Boynton.
Let me take your valise and... Hello.
Mr. Boynton, meet Mr. Finch.
How are you?
Fine. I've heard a lot about you, Finch.
Hey, I get around, don't I?
Please, Mr. Boynton, there's something I wanted to ask you. If Mr. Finch will excuse us for just a minute.
I was preparing a little early lunch for myself. I'm sure there'll be enough for two. Why not go into my kitchenette and help yourself, Mr. Finch?
Oh, no thanks.
I'll be glad to.
As I say, no thanks, he'll be glad to.
It's right through that door.
Okay, don't rush yourself, Miss Brooks.
He's another Walter Denton with the grocery department.
Miss Brooks, I'm not one to criticize, but I believe you're acting in poor taste in this instance. In very poor taste.
What are you talking about, Mr. Boynton?
Well, you know very well what I'm talking about. I should think you'd be more considerate toward a man you've known for 6 years than to bring your newest male companion to his apartment. I may be just a poor biology teacher, but I have some feelings.
You have? I mean, of course you have, Mr. Boynton, but this man is a taxi driver.
Taxi driver? I never thought you were that interested in money.
Look, Mr. Boynton, where did you get the idea that I'd go out with anyone besides you?
No, come now, Miss Brooks. I've got ears, I've got eyes.
And a mouth, and a chin, and the nicest...
Never mind the flattery. You knew I was going away in a few days. You might at least have waited until the body was cold.
When was it warm? You're assuming something that just isn't true. I've never seen you this jealous before, Mr. Boynton.
Jealous? Me jealous? Well, what a ridiculous idea. But I do have some sensitivity.
Well, so do I, Mr. Boynton. And not once did you mention a word about your vacation plans to me. And you knew I hadn't made any.
I was merely driving up to my parents' place for a few weeks. Why, if I thought you were interested, I'd most certainly would have invited you along.
Bingo!
You mean you'll come? Well, that's just fine. Oh, but I don't want you to think that your bringing a boyfriend to my apartment has influenced me in any way.
I reiterate, he's not a boyfriend. In fact, I can't go anywhere until I settle my taxi fare with him.
Then he really is just a cab driver?
To whom I owe $4.50. Now, I don't like to mention it, but I have advanced you $10 or $15 during the past term, so if you could let me have about three of it now, I could settle up. Or is the doorbell ringing?
I'd like to help you, Miss Brooks, but $2 is all I've got.
Then that's all I'll take. Thank you, Mr. Boynton. Now, if you'll excuse me for a minute. Well, here I am again, Mr. Finch. If you'll accept $3.50 toward my fare, I'll be able to settle the balance very soon.
Well, I think you're including...
You sound like one of my more backward pupils.
I told you before, and I'll tell you again. I want my whole fare, $8.
$8? What happened to the $4.50?
Oh, that was 2 hours ago.
So far, Miss Brooks has spent the entire morning trying to collect $8 cab fare which she owes. What makes it doubly difficult is that the cab driver won't let her out of his sight until he's paid. As a last resort, she has decided to try to borrow the money from her principal, Mr. Conklin, who at the moment seems to be having a little trouble of his own.
The idea, the very idea of Mr. Stone asking me to entertain a member of the State Education Commission for the week he's in town. Why, that's Mr. Stone's job, not mine.
I know, Daddy. I'm just relaying Mr. Stone's message. He said I should give it to you as soon as I reached you.
Well, did you tell him we were practically ready to go to Crystal Lake today, Harriet? That your mother was already there?
Yes, Daddy.
And what did he say to that?
Nothing. He just chuckled.
Oh, I'll chuckle him. The nerve of the man asking me to postpone my vacation. What reason did he give?
He said he was going on his vacation.
Oh. Well, if it's something important, I can certainly see why. He said he was going on his vacation. This is more than human flesh can bear. Why,
Daddy, please try to calm down.
I won't go through with it, Harriet. Let Mr. Nichols entertain himself. I washed my hands of the whole business. I absolutely refuse to have anything to do with it.
But Mr. Stone is head of the Board of Education, Daddy.
Oh, I know. And I'm much too old to go back to teaching penmanship. But I wish there was some way out of this.
Oh, I'll get it, Daddy. Oh, hi, Miss Brooks. Welcome to La Maison Conklin. Come on in.
Thanks, Harriet.
Daddy's in the... Oh, hello.
Harriet, meet Mr. Mustard Plaster. Mr. Finch. Mr. Finch, this is Harriet Conklin.
How are you?
Oh, I'm fine, thanks.
I've heard a lot about you.
Well, Miss Brooks, how did you know what I was going to say?
Instinct, Harriet. Mr. Finch is a taxi driver. I know they make wonderful husbands, but the next time I'll find one with a slow meter.
Who is that, Harriet? Who? You, Miss Brooks. What ill wind brings you over?
One step forward, ill wind. Mr. Conklin, meet Mr. Finch.
How are you?
He's a cab driver, Daddy. Isn't that romantic?
I knew she'd wind up marrying for money. How do you do?
There's something I wanted to ask you, sir. So if Harriet and Mr. Finch would excuse us...
Oh, sure we will. I just got through preparing lunch, Mr. Finch, so...
Say no more, Harriet. Mr. Finch will be glad to.
Well, it has been quite a while.
Just follow me, Mr. Finch.
See you in a few minutes.
Come into my den, Miss Brooks.
Thank you, sir.
Now, sit down, but be brief. I'm in no mood for protracted yakking at this time.
All right, Mr. Conklin, I'd like to borrow some money.
What?
Maybe I should have protracted the yakking a bit.
Miss Brooks, you know the stand I've always taken on lending money, and I see no point at this time in reiterating how I
but
feel.
But, Mr. Conklin, it's an emergency. That cab driver you saw outside has been dogging my footsteps all day.
Well, that should be a change for you after the way you've dogged Mr. Boynton.
Please, Mr. Conklin, I owe him $8 cab fare. I have about $3 of it, but he won't leave me until I give him the remaining $5.
Miss Brooks, permit me to repeat one of my favorite axioms.
I'll do anything for you, sir, if you'll lend me the money. Absolutely anything.
Neither a borrower nor a lender be, for loan oft loses absolutely anything. Miss Brooks, there may be something you can do for me at that. You say you want $5?
Yes, sir.
I'll make it 10.
I'll call. What have you got in mind, sir?
Well, listen carefully. I was supposed to go up to Crystal Lake today, but Harriet got a phone message from Mr. Stone, which she was to give to me when she reached me. The message was for me to meet a Mr. Nichols at the train at 3 this afternoon, see that he was settled, and escort him around town for the next week. Are you following me, Miss Brooks?
Don't turn around or we'll have a collision.
Let's say for argument's sake that Harriet couldn't reach me, that I had already gone up to Crystal Lake. So instead she contacted you.
But, sir, I don't quite see how
I'll tell you, I'll tell you. You will meet Mr. Nichols in my place and delay coming over here until Harriet and I are packed and out of town. For this, I will give you $10.
On behalf of Mr. Nichols' welcoming committee, Mr. Boynton and me, I accept. Now, if you'll excuse me. Hello again, Mr. Finch. Well, here's your $8 plus $5 for the rental of your car, which I'll bring back in a few hours. Later that day, with Mr. Boynton's assistance, I had put the plan into action.
Now, see here, Miss Brooks. It isn't that I don't appreciate you and Mr. Boynton calling for me, but according to Mr. Stone's telegram, I was supposed to go directly to Mr. Conklin's house.
Well, we are going there, Mr. Nichols.
Well, I know, but we've been driving for almost an hour.
Well, we might as well enjoy the town while we're going through it, Mr. Nichols.
Yes, that's the idea. It has so many points of interest. Now, right on your left over there is our Chinatown.
Chinatown? All I see is one restaurant.
Well, Rome wasn't built in a day. Or China, for that matter.
Miss Brooks, I was supposed...
You see that house over there, the real old one?
Oh, I don't want to hear about any more houses.
Oh, but this is simply fascinating, Mr. Nichols. You've heard of Lana Turner, of course.
Well, yes, but I...
Well, the woman who lives in that house has seen every picture she ever made.
Miss Brooks, I am supposed to stay with Mr. Conklin during my week in town, and I'd like to be taken there at once. Are we anywhere near it?
Well, it's not more than a few blocks away, sir.
Well, then I would like to get there in a hurry.
Yes, sir, but just let me point out this one place of interest on the...
Miss Brooks, watch out for that car. Look out! I think you only dented his fender.
Oh, how can you tell? It's still rolling across the street.
Uh-oh. The fellow's getting out of his car.
Well, at least I didn't knock off his sunglasses.
That has done it! That has absolutely done it! Of all the stupid, lame-brained, idiotic, careless, knuckle-headed... Oh, no!
You two know each other?
Know each other? Oh, no, indeed. I never saw this man before in my life.
Oh, well, the accident was entirely our fault, sir. You have every right to be furious. She crashed right into you.
Yes. Well,
accidents will happen in the best of families. Yes, indeed. Goodbye.
Wait a minute here. Aren't you going to take this woman's name and address?
Well, why should he? He's probably a happily married man, and there's no
reason. Oh, he's got to contact your insurance company. After all, you did knock a fender off his car.
Yes, she... Well, I'm sure that can be repaired. After all, what a fender. What a fender.
He's got three more where that came from.
Certainly. Well, I must be running along. I'm on my way to my vacation. I don't want to delay any further.
But look here. This is a serious accident. Not only was your fender knocked off, but the front of this lady's car is smashed in. Miss Brooks, you're going to ask to see his license, aren't you?
Oh, I wouldn't want to embarrass him.
Wouldn't want to embarrass him?
For all I know, he's driving without one. After all, he was nice enough not to ask for mine.
Yes, but Miss Brooks, how do you know he won't sue you?
Sir, what do you take me for? Now, if you'll excuse me, Mr. Nichols, I'll
be on... Mr. Nichols! Wait a minute, he called me Mr. Nichols.
Oh, what did you expect him to call you, Mr. O'Brien?
How does he know my name is Nichols? You haven't mentioned it since we passed the garbage dump.
Well, where do you think he got the car he's driving?
I heard the crash all the way back on the porch. Holy smoke, look what's happened to my car!
Mr. Finch!
You smacked right into the side of Mr. Conklin's car, too. Mr. Conklin! His name is Conklin!
It'll be mud soon.
Oh, I think I'm beginning to see the light.
Give him your sunglasses, Mr. Conklin.
Oh, you were afraid I'd intercept you before you could sneak off on your vacation. Is that it?
I'd hate to have you as an opponent in the charade game.
Why, Mr. Nichols, what a preposterous idea.
Mr. Stone will most certainly hear about the treatment I have received.
Oh, now, Mr. Nichols, I'm sure that wasn't Mr. Conklin's intention at all. But we're all entitled to a vacation, and Mr. Conklin needs a rest. He was simply on his way to his place at Crystal Lake to do a little fishing.
Fishing? well, that happens to be my favorite sport.
Wonderful. Then why don't you just pile into Mr. Conklin's car and go with him?
Hey, that's not a bad idea. That's not bad at all. I have no plans for this weekend if Mr. Conklin...
By all means, Mr. Nichols. Come right along. Maybe you'd like to come along for a little fishing, too, Miss Brooks.
Oh, no, sir. I wouldn't want to impose. Besides, I remember what happened when you took me out on the lake last summer.
Last summer?
Yes, sir. This year, you might tip the rowboat all the way over.
Armistice Brooks, starring Eve Arden, transcribed, was produced and directed by Larry Burns, written by Arthur Olsberg and Al Lewis, with the music of Lud Gluskin. Mr. Conklin was played by Gail Gordon.
Mr. Arnold, a gentleman is here about the position you advertised for.
In yesterday's paper.
Yeah, in yesterday's paper, Mr. Arnold. All right. Mr. Arnold asked if you've had specific experience in this field.
4 whole years.
4 whole years, Mr. Arnold.
I see. Has he completed his armed service obligation?
Mm-hmm. He wants to know if you've already been in the service.
1.5 whole years.
1.5 whole years, Mr. Arnold.
I presume he received a honorable discharge?
Yes, sir. Honorable discharge, of course. He's shaking his head slowly, Mr. Arnold. I see.
What'd he say?
Don't call us. We'll call you.
Others in tonight's cast were Jane Morgan, Dick Crenna, Bob Rockwell, Gloria McMillan, Jerry Hausner, and Joseph Kern.
Our Miss Brooks on Tuned to Yesterday, a broadcast from June 19th, 1955 on CBS. Competing with very few comedy dramas of that time, all that was left on the air really in terms of a sitcom was My Little Margie, The Great Gildersleeve, Fibber McGee and Molly, and The Amos and Andy Show, on the air at that point for 26 years, In terms of sitcom listeners, our Miss Brooks led the pack, heard on Sunday nights on CBS at 8 o'clock, where over 5.5 million people were tuned in. Thank you for tuning in to this episode of Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levionier. Now another sitcom. It's The Adventures of Archie Andrews, a new TV at the Andrews home from May 21st, 1949 on NBC.
Hello?
Hello, Jughead. This is Archie. Come over right away. It's a matter of life or death.
Relax, Archie. Relax.
Yes, here he is again. The upcoming readers of Archie Comics Magazine know and love so well Archie Andrews and all his gang. And now for our weekly visit to Riverdale. It's early evening as we look in on the Andrews home. Archie is in his room studying. Mr. Andrews has gone downtown for some cigars, and Mrs. Andrews is straightening up the living room.
Lavender blue, dilly dilly. Lavender green. For pity's sake, what on earth is that? All right, I'm coming. Fred, what on earth were you... Fred, what's that?
Mary, look out of my way. This box is heavy. I can't hold it all night.
Well, Fred, what is it?
You see, dear, you see. Now, quick, move that lamp over so I can set this down.
All right.
There. Boy, that weighs a ton. I should have let him deliver it, but I was so anxious to use it, I brought it home myself.
But, Fred, what is it?
You'll see in a minute, dear. Now, just be patient, be patient. Now, just hand me the scissors off my desk, and I'll open it.
All right, dear. But I don't see why it has to be such a mystery.
No mystery at all. Just want to surprise you.
Well, you said you were going downtown for some cigars, and you come back with this.
Well, I found the store was still open, and I bought it. You know, I've been wanting to buy one for a long time.
But wanting what?
Well, you see, I almost have the box cut open now.
Oh.
There you are, dear. How do you like that?
Fred Andrews, a television set.
Uh-huh.
Why, Fred, I never dreamed you'd buy a television set. The last time I asked you about one, you said they cost too much money.
I know, dear, but they've come down quite a bit in price, and I decided we might as well keep abreast of the time. Uh-huh. Do you like it?
Oh, Fred, I love it. I adore it. When can we see something on it?
Well, the man at the store is sending someone out to install the aerial in 3 or 4 days.
Mm-hmm.
But he said we should be able to get one or two stations right now without any aerial.
Why, Fred, that's wonderful.
Yes, Mary, I think it is, too. From now on, I expect to spend many a long, comfortable hour right in my armchair watching television. Yes, sir. Boxing matches, movies, Broadway reviews, everything right in my own living room.
Fred, never mind the speeches and turn it on. I want
to see... Hiya, Mom. Hiya, Dad. What's that?
Why, Archie, that's...
A television set.
Yes,
Archie. When did we get it?
Well, just
boy, isn't that terrific?
Yes,
when can we see something on it? Just wait till I tell the kids
Archie,
that we got a television set. Oh, boy,
Archie.
Thanks a million,
Archie,
Dad.
You're...
Thanks a billion.
Archie.
Thanks a zillion. Oh,
Archie!
Gee, that's
all right.
Put it on that end table over there.
All right, Mary. I'll just lift it up and put it down here. There. How's that?
Oh, no.
Yes, I thought you did. Oh, no. Mary, what's wrong with it here?
Well, that table's too low. We'd practically have to lie on the rug to see anything.
Well, it is a little low, isn't it?
Certainly is. Fred, I know. Put it on the bookcase over there.
Well, all right, dear. That should be better. I'll pick it up again.
Can I help?
No. Just look out of my way. Hey. Now, how's that?
Oh, Fred, no.
Yes, it is, my dear. No? Mary, now what's wrong with it?
Well, it's too high.
Oh, but
the only place to put it is on your desk over there.
On my desk? But, Mary, it'll cover the whole desk.
Fred, it will not cover the whole desk. Do you want to see something on this set, or do you just want to put it where it's out of the way?
Oh, me. All right, Mary. On the desk it goes. There. Now, how's that?
Fred, that's fine. See, it only takes up about half your desk.
Half the desk? Oh, sure. That's great.
Fred, that's the perfect location for it. Just the right height, and you can see it from every part of the room.
Yes, Mary, I suppose you're right. But for Pete's sake, let's hook it up. I want to see something for my money.
All right, dear. Go ahead. Plug it in.
By the way, Dad.
Yes.
Gee whiz, you're not going to keep the set over there, are you?
Well, yes, Archie. What's wrong with keeping it there?
Oh, gee whiz, Dad, you're supposed to face the set away from the light. And that way it faces right toward the window, and you won't be able to see a thing on it in the daytime.
Oh, good grief, it does face the window, doesn't it?
I never thought of that. fridge. You'll just have to put it on the coffee table.
Yeah, on the coffee table? Mary, that's where I had it in the first place.
Well, it's the only place for it, I guess.
Oh, fine. All right, Mary. I'll put it on the coffee table. But I warn you, this is the last time I'm going to move this set. I want to turn it on, not lug it around the room all night.
Yes, dear. You won't have to move it again.
Well, all right. There. Now, for Pete's sake, let's see some television. Archie, plug this in.
Okay, Dad. It's in.
All right. Now, I'll turn it on.
Gee whiz, nothing happens.
Archie, give it a chance to warm up.
Hey, look! Look, the screen lit up!
Yes, yes, Mary, but we don't seem to be getting any picture.
I told you we'd need the aerial first, Dad.
Archie, look, the man said at least one of the channels should work without an aerial. Now, let's just dial around and see what we can find.
Fred, the screen flickered.
Flickered, yes, Mary. That's because I changed stations.
Oh.
But I don't see anything.
No, nothing on that channel. I'll try another.
Nothing there either. Nothing there.
Oh, dear. I hope we can see something.
It'd be just my luck that we won't. Well, how do you like that? I tried every channel, and we don't get a single thing.
Oh. I don't think you tried this one, Dad.
Now, Archie, I tried them all.
Well, gee, Dad, I was sure you missed this one.
Well, try them again if you want to.
All right.
How do you like that? Here I was looking forward to a nice evening, sitting in my armchair and watching television.
With us all... to beautiful India.
What was that?
I got it.
Fred, it's on.
Good grief, it is on. Archie, how did you do it?
Well, I tried this channel, Dad, the one you missed.
Archie, that's wonderful.
And it's a travelogue.
Mm.
Oh, yeah. About India.
Yes, India. Land of the Mohammedan and Hindu.
Oh, sweet.
Land of the elephant and the tiger. Land of gold and spices. India, land of mystery.
Well, 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 how do you like that? We're going to see television tonight after all, and a travelogue.
I love travelogues.
Me too.
Fred, can't you get a better picture?
Better?
Yes, it's so gray.
Oh, all right, dear, I'll just adjust this gadget here. How's that?
No, that's too dark.
Well, how's that?
No, that's too light.
Well, how's this?
Fred, that's fine.
Yeah, Dad, that's fine. Gee, I wonder what that building is they're showing.
The Taj Mahal.
Oh, thank you.
Yes, the beautiful Taj Mahal. Most famous mausoleum in the world.
Well, come on, pull up some chairs, folks. Turn off the lights. We're all set to watch this travelogue.
Yeah, here's a chair, Dad.
Thanks, Archie.
I'll sit on the couch here.
And I'll sit in the armchair.
Fine. Now, turn off the lights, Archie, and we'll be able to see it nice and clearly.
Okay, Dad.
Oh, my, that makes quite a difference.
Uh-huh. Isn't that wonderful?
Oh, boy, it sure is. Oh, this television is terrific.
Yes, it is.
The Taj Mahal was built in the 17th century by Shah Jahan for himself and his wife.
Boy, that Taj Mahal is a regular palace.
It sure is.
It is built of gold and precious jewels of every description. Historians tell us it took the labor of 20,000
yes,
men.
Was that the doorbell?
Working for 22
I didn't hear any doorbell.
Neither did I.
This beautiful edifice.
Fred, I'm sure I heard the doorbell ring. Turn the set off so we can tell.
But Mary, I
turn it off for just one second.
Oh, all right. There, it's off. Now, where's your? Oh,
there. I told you I heard it ring.
Oh, great. I guess you did hear it at that.
Of course I did. Archie, turn the light on and go see who it is, dear.
She was okay, Mom. But I don't know why somebody had to come here just when we were watching our first television program.
Hello.
She was Jughead.
Who'd you expect? A ghost rider in the sky?
No, Jughead, I did not expect a ghost rider in the sky, and I didn't expect you either. Come on in. I'm watching television.
Television? Archie, did you say television?
Yeah, we just got a new set, Jughead.
Gee whiz. Oh, hello, Mr. Andrews.
Hello,
Mrs. Andrews.
Hello, Jughead.
Gee whiz, you got a new television set, huh?
Yes, Jughead.
Why don't you turn it on?
We turn it off.
You can see all kinds of swell programs on television.
Yes, Jughead.
I always watch it over at Pinky Schultz's house.
Yes, Jughead.
You can see Howdy Doody. It's Howdy Doody time. It's Howdy Doody time.
Jughead,
you can see Milton Berle. I'll give you a shot in the head. What the hey? What the hey?
Jughead,
I'm Kukla, Fran, and Ollie. I'm Kukla.
I'm Ollie.
I'm Fran. Doody, 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 doody.
Jughead, all right. So you're Howdy Doody, Milton Berle, and Kukla, Fran, and Ollie. Not to mention Tui, 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 Tui. But I was watching a travelogue on India, and I want to watch it some more, if you don't mind.
I don't mind.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I'll even stay and watch it with you.
All right, Jughead. You may stay and watch it with us, but if
I better call my mother and tell her where I am, though.
Oh, fine. All right, Jughead. Go call your mother.
Okay. Boy, I'm sure glad you folks got a television set.
Mary, I can see a television set has certain disadvantages.
Riverdale 689, please.
Gee whiz, Dad, turn the set on before we miss the whole thing.
I am, Archie, I am.
And so we come to Bombay, chief seaport of Western India.
Hello, Mom?
The city with what? A population of 1.5 million people.
Speak a little louder.
Situated on the island of Bombay.
Louder!
To the mainland by this causeway.
I still can't hear you. Just a minute, Mom.
Bombay contains many of the
finest hotels. Fred, Jughead's calling you.
Me?
Factory.
What is it, Jughead?
Could you turn the set off for a minute? I can't hear anything.
What?
Turn the set off?
Yeah, but Jughead, I'm watching.
Fred, turn it off for 1 minute.
Oh, me. All right, Mary, I'll turn it off for 1 minute.
Thanks, Mr. Andrews.
Jughead, you're welcome. I'd like to know why I can't
Fred,
watch this.
Fred, Jughead will be through with his call in a minute. Then you can watch your travelogue.
Hello, Mom. This is me, Jughead. Yeah, I'm at the Andrews. I'm watching television. Yeah, television. Yeah, they just got a new set. What? I don't know where they got all their money.
Oh, fine.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll be here for a little while. Yeah. Okay, I will. Bye.
Well, Jughead, are you through with your call?
Uh-huh. My mother said I could stay.
Well, that's fine.
She said I could even have supper here.
Supper here? Oh, for pity's sake.
Gee whiz, Mom, what about getting some supper?
Oh, I forgot all about it in the excitement of your father's bringing home this television set.
Gee, you gotta get supper. I'm hungry.
Now, Jughead, be quiet. Fred, I'll have to go get supper.
All right, Mary, get supper, but I want to turn this set on.
Gee, Mom, I got a good idea. Why don't you have a light supper, just a sandwich and some milk, and then we can eat right here and watch the television.
Why, Archie, that's a fine idea.
Yes, yes, it is, it is. Just make us some ham sandwiches or something.
All right, I'll bring them in when they're ready.
All right, now, for Pete's sake, let's have no more interruptions. I want to watch this travelogue.
Okay, Dad, turn the set back on.
All right, now, turn the lights out.
Okay.
Now, I'll turn the...
Hey, what'd you do?
Jug, I just...
It's dark in here.
Jug,
I'm afraid of the dark.
Jughead, please.
I don't even sleep in the dark.
Jug, we...
It's too dark with the lights out.
Jughead, will you please be quiet?
Who, me?
Yes, you. We simply turned the lights out so we can watch the television better. Now, there's nothing to be afraid of. Archie and I are right here with you. And when I get the set turned on, it won't be quite so dark.
Well...
Now, just be quiet and sit down.
Okay, I'll sit right here.
You Jughead, you're sitting on me.
Gee, I'm sorry. I couldn't see anything.
Well, get off me and get on your own chair.
Okay. I'll sit over here.
Jughead, you're sitting on me.
Gee whiz, I'm sorry.
Well, so am I, and get off me.
Okay. Well, where's my chair anyway?
To your right a little.
Oh, okay.
Well, what was that?
Jughead, what happened?
Sat down on the chair you told me was there, but it wasn't.
Oh, great. Jughead,
a fine trick that was, Archie.
Jughead,
you tell me there's a chair there, and when I lower my landing gear, no chair.
Jug, I just wanted...
You pull that chair out from under me, I bet.
Jughead!
Huh?
Jughead, I did not pull any chair out from under you. You just missed the chair. It's right here. See?
Oh, yeah. I see it now.
Okay. Now, for Pete's sake, sit down on it.
And be quiet.
Okay.
Now, I'll turn the set on.
The River Ganges, some 1,500 miles long and 3 miles wide at the widest places, is the sacred river of India. It is the sacred duty of Hindus...
Was that the door again?
...to wash in the waters
of
the Ganges. I heard it.
Gee whiz, Dad, you better shut off the set again so we can tell.
Archie,
but maybe something important.
Oh, me, all right, Archie. I'll turn it off again. There, you see? I told you it wasn't the doorbell. Oh, fine. I guess it was the door.
I'll get it, Dad, as soon as I turn this light on. There. I sure wish people wouldn't keep ringing that doorbell when we're watching television.
Hello, Archie.
Well, gee, hiya, Betty. Come on in.
Well, thanks, Archie. Mother sent me over to return this salad bowl she borrowed from your mother.
Oh, okay, Betty. I'll give it to her. But, Betty, guess what we got?
What?
A television set.
A television set? Archie, you're kidding.
No, I'm not. Come on in and see. It's Betty, Dad.
Oh, hello, Betty.
Hello, Mr. Andrews.
Hello, Betty.
Hi, Jug. What are you doing here?
Watching television.
Golly, you do have a new set, don't you, Archie?
Yes, Betty.
It's a pretty good set, too.
When'd you get it?
Well,
just tonight.
Golly, does it work yet?
We've been watching the travelogue.
Jughead, whose set is this, mine or yours?
She was, I was just telling Betty about it for you.
Well, it's my set, and I'll tell her myself.
What's wrong with my telling?
Well, I want to tell her, and I don't think that you...
Archie! Now, look, it so happens this is not Jughead's set or your set. It's my set, and I don't care who tells Betty about it. I want to watch it. You hear?
Yes, Dad.
Well, all right. Now, if Betty wants to watch it, she may. But I want all of you to sit down and be quiet.
Okay, Dad. Pull up a chair, Betty.
Well, all right, Archie, but I have to be home for supper soon.
Have supper here. I am.
Oh, fine. Jughead, who asked you
to... Golly, may I have supper here?
Well, gee, I guess so, Betty. We're just having some sandwiches right here so we can watch the television at the same time.
Oh, great. Archie, will you please be quiet? I want to turn the set on.
Okay, Dad, okay, but I better tell Mom to make enough for Betty, too.
Oh, fine. All right, Archie, tell
your
mother...
Here's the sandwiches and milk, dear. Oh, Betty, hello.
Hello, Mrs. Andrews.
Betty's staying for supper, Mom.
What? Oh, that's fine, dear, fine, but... I'll have to take this tray back and make some more sandwiches.
Oh, golly, if you don't have enough, Mrs.
Oh, no,
Andrews.
I have enough, dear. I just have to make them, that's all.
Oh, all right, Mrs. Andrews, if it's no trouble.
Well, Betty, it's all set now.
Thanks, Archie.
All right, now, do you kids mind if I turn the set on?
Well, go ahead, Dad.
All right, now, turn the lights out.
Okay, Dad.
Now, I'll turn the set on. I want to see the Ganges River.
Towering peaks of the Himalayas, greatest mountain range in the world.
Oh, great. We missed the part about the river.
The Himalayas extend approximately 2,000 miles along northern India.
Well, Betty, how do you like it?
From 100
to 600
miles.
Golly, Archie, that's awful.
Yeah, awful.
Awful? What's awful about it?
Well, the glare is so strong.
Glare?
Uh-huh. Hey, you're supposed to wear sunglasses when you watch television.
Sunglasses?
Uh-huh. Then you can see the picture much better, and it's better for your eyes, too.
Yeah, they wear sunglasses at Pinky Schultz's house.
Gee whiz, Dad, turn the set off, and I'll run upstairs and get our sunglasses.
Archie, I can see this picture perfectly well without glasses.
But just try glasses, Mr. Andrews, and you'll see what a difference it makes.
Yes, but Betty,
it's much better.
Jughead.
You don't want our eyes to go bad, do you?
All right, Archie, I'll turn the set off again.
I'll turn the lights on.
Well, go ahead. Get sunglasses. But frankly, I could watch this program a lot better if you kids wouldn't give me so many bright suggestions on how to watch it.
I think our sunglasses are right down here in this drawer. Yeah, here they are. Here are yours, Dad.
Thank you.
And you can wear my mother's, Betty.
Oh, thanks, Archie.
And I'll put mine on.
What about me?
You can just squint.
Squint. Oh, you don't care about me.
Jughead.
I can go blind for you. You care. It doesn't matter if the glare bothers
Jughead,
my eyes.
Jughead, for Pete's sake, be quiet.
Who, me?
Yes, you. You can wear my glasses.
Oh, golly, Mr. Andrews, what'll you wear?
Betty, I did not want any sunglasses in the first place. The picture was absolutely fine the way it was, but I want to see it. You kids will only sit still and not keep making many bright suggestions.
Well, I'm sorry, Mr. Andrews.
All right. Now, turn the lights out, Archie.
Okay, Dad.
Now, I'll turn the set on. You know, those pictures of the Himalaya Mountains are interesting.
Is the Bengal tiger the largest type of tiger found anywhere?
Oh, great. We missed the part about the mountains.
Gee, that's the first green tiger I ever saw.
Jughead, that's because you're wearing colored glasses, and be quiet.
The Bengal tiger generally hunts its food near waterholes and small ponds, waiting for deer, antelope, wild hogs, and buffalo.
Oh, I can see much better now, can't you, Archie?
Yeah.
Oh, fine.
It cuts out all the glare. You ought to try them, Mr. Andrews.
Here, try mine, Dad.
Archie,
I can't see a thing.
Oh, great. If you kids like the sunglasses, wear them. If you don't like them, don't wear them. But I want to watch this travelogue. Do you hear?
Okay, Dad, okay.
Tigers have been known to kill 32,000 cattle in India in a single year. Here you see the natives.
Gee whiz.
Now what?
Trap
the door again.
What? I didn't hear it.
Oh, I did, Mr. Andrews.
I did, too.
Turn the set off, Dad. You'll see.
Oh, me. All right, Archie. I'll turn it off. But so help me, if that bell doesn't stop ringing, I'm going to disconnect it and nail the door shut. There. It's off.
See, Dad, it is the bell.
Oh, me. Well, go answer it, Archie, and hurry up.
Okay, Dad. I'll turn the light on. I sure wish we could watch that travelogue for just 1 minute. Boy...
Hello, Archie.
Oh, fine.
Hi, y'all, Archiekin. It's awful good to see y'all, Archie.
dear. What on earth are you doing wearing sunglasses in the house?
Oh, these? Well, I'm wearing them to watch television, Veronica.
Television?
Uh-huh.
My goodness, do you have a television set?
Yeah. Come on in and see it.
All right, I'd love to. Oh, hello, Miss Strangers.
Hello, Veronica.
Hello, Betty. Hello, Jughead.
Hi, Veronica.
My goodness, are you all watching television?
Uh-huh. And we're all having supper here, too. You want some, Veronica?
Oh, great. Jughead, would you please quit inviting...
I'd love to. I don't have anything special to do anyway.
Oh, me. Order another sandwich, Archie.
Okay, Dad.
Well, here are the sandwiches. Oh, Veronica.
Hello, Mrs. Andrews.
Veronica's staying for supper, too, Mom.
Staying for supper? But, Archie, I just finished making all the sandwiches.
Well, couldn't you make just one more, Mom? Hmm?
Oh, dear. All right. Take this tray back and make some more sandwiches.
You can leave my sandwich here.
Jug, be quiet. Now, Veronica, will you please pull up a chair and sit down? This set has been off and on 10 times in 10 minutes, and I'm getting...
My goodness, that's not a very large screen, is it?
No, Veronica, I guess it isn't.
The screen on our set's about twice that size.
Yes, Veronica,
we get a good, large picture on our set.
Veronica,
I don't know how you can see anything on this set.
Veronica, all right. I can't see anything on this set when it's turned off. Will you please sit down?
All right, Mr. Ingles, I won't say another word.
All right. Now, I'll just turn this... Oh, fine.
Yes, Mom?
I have so many sandwiches and so many glasses of milk now. I need someone to help me carry this tray in.
Okay, Mom. Jughead, you go help Mom.
Me?
Yes, Jug, you. I've been hopping up and down to answer the door every 2 minutes, and I want to see some of this travelogue.
Gee whiz, okay. I'll go, but I don't know what.
Well, now, if you have that settled, may I turn on this set? I want to see them capture that tiger.
Oh, sure, Dad. I'll turn the light on.
All right. Now, I'll turn the set on.
Known as the Island of Ceylon.
Oh, fine. We missed the tigers.
Gee, I guess this is about how they grow tea.
Ceylon is in the Indian Ocean, 60 miles southeast of Hindustan.
Here comes the food.
With an
great.
Turn the lights on.
Oh, no, you don't, Jug. You can pass the sandwiches out with the lights off. It's not that
Ceylon
dark in
is
here.
Famous
well, okay.
The world.
Wait till I set this tray down someplace.
What happened?
Oh, I don't know, but I'm all wet.
Gee whiz, I spilled a glass of milk.
Right down my back.
Oh, gee whiz.
I'm all wet.
Jughead spilled a glass of milk down Veronica's back.
Oh, Fred, turn the set off.
I am. Archie, turn the lights on.
I'm trying to, Dad. Oh, here it is. There.
Oh, dear. Veronica's dress is sopping wet.
I asked somebody to turn the lights on.
Jughead, never mind whether you ask somebody to turn the light on or not. And Veronica, please stop that crying. Veronica, please,
My dress is ruined.
Veronica, Veronica,
I'm going to go home in a wet dress, and it's a brand new dress.
Veronica, look, I'll buy you a new dress.
You will?
Oh, fine. Yes, I will. And you can go upstairs with my wife, and she'll lend you one of her dresses to go home in.
Oh, all right, Miss Strangers. That'll be fine.
I hope my dresses fit you, Veronica.
Well, we have that settled. Now, for Pete's sake, let's watch this program and eat your sandwiches and have no more trouble.
Okay, Dad, okay. I'll turn the light out.
And I'll turn the set on.
Notice the extremely Pass the sandwiches, primitive farming methods.
Pass the sandwiches. I don't have them. Farmers. You don't? Betty, do you have them?
No, I didn't even see them.
Will you kids please be quiet?
Well, gee, Dad, we're just looking for the sandwiches.
Where did you put them?
On your armchair.
All right, I can find it. On my armchair. Oh, good grief, I'm sitting on them.
Golly. Oh, boy. Mr. Andrews is hatching ham sandwiches.
Turn the set off.
I am. Archie, turn the light on.
I am, Dad.
Fred, why on earth did you sit on the sandwiches?
Mary,
I'm hungry.
And we're missing the whole program.
Archie,
those
never mind.
Those sandwiches are ruined.
Betty,
they didn't do your suit any good either.
Yeah, now, just a minute. Just 1 minute. This nonsense has gone far enough. Too far, in fact.
Yes, Mr. Andrew.
Yes, dear.
Yes, Dad. And how?
Judge, be quiet. Now, half hour ago, I wanted to settle down to a nice, comfortable evening in my armchair and watch television. But what happens? All of Archie's friends wind up here, invite themselves to supper, and keep interrupting my program. Jughead's afraid of the dark, and Betty wants sunglasses. Jughead spills milk all over Veronica. Put sandwiches on my chair. Now, I have stood all I'm going to stand. You kids can watch television if you want to. But from now on, I want you all to be absolutely stock still. I don't want to hear a word out of any of you. Not a peep. You understand?
Yes.
Yes, Mr. Andrews.
And I, by George, am going to spend the rest of the evening enjoying this television set, starting right here and now.
And so we conclude our telecasting for today.
What?
We'll be back on this same channel tomorrow afternoon at 4 o'clock. Good night.
Oh, no.
Oh,
I missed the only program they have on tonight.
Back to the Andrews. It's later that evening. Archie's friends have all gone home, and peace and quiet have returned to the household.
Fred, I'm terribly sorry we had all that trouble and you missed the only program we could see tonight.
Now, Mary, look, it doesn't matter. In a few days, they'll hook up our aerial and we'll be able to watch a lot of channels and see all the television we want. But right now, if you don't mind, I'd rather forget the entire episode. I don't want to hear any more about television tonight.
I don't blame you, dear. But, Fred, you better hurry and get dressed.
Dressed? Dressed for what?
We promised the Hendersons we'd come over tonight.
The Hendersons? The Hendersons?
Mm-hmm.
We did? Oh, Mary, that's fine. Why, there's nothing more I'd enjoy right now than a good game of bridge.
Oh, Fred, I forgot to tell you. We're not going to play bridge.
We're not?
No. The Hendersons just got their set hooked up, and they invited us to watch television.
Oh, no.
You've been listening to another chapter of The Adventures of Archie Andrews, written by Carl Jantel and based on the copyrighted feature appearing in Archie Comics Magazine.
The Adventures of Archie Andrews, on Tuned to Yesterday from the 21st of May, 1949 on NBC. And so closes this hour of sitcoms on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from radio's past. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark LeBonier. Thanks for tuning in.